At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
With the first Jewel claim.
Oh, it's a photo of the Derby! Miss McMahon!
The race for the Triple Crown erupts into an epic party. The Preakness Stakes, May 18th on NBC and Peacock.
I'm ready to go!
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Wow. 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 I got the record and fact book of 2023, and Roger signed it. My God, I got the record and fact book. Remember, nobody gets this. Florio's off the list, they're down on him. Oh. Forget Peter King.
Nicely produced.
I also would have accepted my face on Eddie Murphy being thrown out the window in Beverly Hills Cop.
Don't you feel disrespected?
No, because it's shtick. It's funny. He goes so over the top on getting this personalized signed edition of the Record and Fact Book from Roger Goodell. He gets the book, but he doesn't get a personalized edition from Roger.
It's not. He does not really personally signed? Okay, that went
book,
over my head. All right,
when
sorry.
I first got into this business, that thing was as big as a phone.
I remember that, yeah.
It's big, giant. I've still got it from 2000.
Right.
Kurt Warner was on the cover because it was Super Bowl 34 MVP.
Right.
And I used to pore over that thing, and I buy it every year. You could get it at the bookstore. You could order it. And then all of a sudden, you can't find it anymore. They don't sell it because nobody buys it.
Yeah.
So then I just had to work the back channels to get – and it just got to the point where it's like, I just
– And they're still making that thing, huh?
They still make that thing.
Right.
You can get it online. They distribute the link to it.
Right.
I've gotten to the point where any question I have –
Yeah.
I just Google it and I get the answer
exactly
that way.
Right.
We don't need to
cut down
through
half the Brazil rainforest to make a record book, okay? Those days are over. Let's
Captain Planet.
All right?
Captain Planet in Cuyahoga Falls. If I used it, I would still want it.
Yeah.
But I got to the point where, and I save them all, and there's a line between, like, being a collector and being a hoarder.
A hoarder, yeah. You've danced that line. Yeah, you definitely
so
do.
That was a good point to just say enough of these books, because they're not as large, but they're still
thick as
thick.
Hell.
There's
a
lot of stuff in there. And I used to just kind of flip through them, and I'd have a little stack of the Post-it notes, and I'd find a page, and I'd highlight something. It's like, that's good information. Like, I didn't know that before. There's a very long history of the NFL and the evolution of the game. One of the things I learned reading that years ago, and I never knew this, early in the life of pro football, they thought, and I think this was in the Record and Fact Book where I saw this, when head trauma first became a thing because they weren't wearing helmets, they actually believed if you grew your hair long, that would protect you while playing football. So, like, back in the days of the old grumpy Teddy Roosevelt short hair combed and mustaches, the football players all had really long hair. They were hippies before hippies were even hippies, because that was their protection. That was their protection.
I always wondered that, you know, some of the guys we see in football now, like Troy Polamalu back in those days. I always wondered, maybe all that hair under there, does that add a little extra
cushion? I don't think it does.
Cushion? I don't know.
I'm not a neurologist. Not. I have a feeling.
Well, but you know
how
you even see boxers and fighters sometimes, they grow their beards out, and that's what they say. Like, it did, like,
unless you slip something actually into the beard, like padding, I don't think
it doesn't matter.
I don't think the hair is going to do much.
I wouldn't think so either.
All right. Here we go. We're going to get through a couple different things happening currently in the NFL. Alvin Kamara, one of the highly paid NFL running backs.
Yeah.
We don't talk much about his situation. I'm surprised they haven't squeezed him to take less.
I mean,
And maybe they would have even considered trading him, but he's got hanging over him the incident arising from the Pro Bowl in Las Vegas,
yep,
early 2022. It all happened when we were in L.A. He got arrested for allegedly or charged. I can't remember whether they ultimately – oh, they arrested him at the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Hell, it's all coming back to me now.
Yeah.
They waited for him at the Pro Bowl, arrested him at the Pro Bowl because he and others allegedly beat some guy up, and there's surveillance video. It was outside of a nightclub at a casino. Everyone was there from the NFL who had been at the Pro Bowl. Not everyone at that time, but everyone was in the city, so
yeah,
things like that potentially
yeah
could happen.
Right.
And it happened. So there was a recent guilty plea or no contest to misdemeanor charge. The criminal case is over. The civil case is settled, but there's one order of business left, and that's to go meet with the commissioner. And the way this works now, it used to be you meet with the commissioner decides what he's going to do, and that's pretty much it. He controls everything.
Yeah,
you can appeal, but he controls everything.
Right.
Now the NFL proposes punishment. Judge Sue L. Robinson, remember her from last year with Deshaun Watson,
sure,
she'll have a hearing. She'll decide the facts, she'll decide the appropriate punishment, and then that's it, with the NFL only having jurisdiction over not the facts, but the punishment based on the facts that she finds as they happen. But there's surveillance video. I think there's questions of self-defense, there's questions of provocation, but the video shows that there was some sort of an assault that was committed and Alvin Kamara was involved. So he's meeting with the commissioner today. And the clock's ticking toward week one, man. I mean, you know,
like,
I mean, they got to move pretty quickly. They
got to
move pretty. They got to move pretty quickly if they want to get this done before week one. And there's a point where it's like, well, when are you going to do it if you're going to do it before week one?
You're doing a disservice to the team a little bit by dragging your feet through this a little bit here. I know. I'm a little surprised too that it's taken this long to kind of come to this point. I mean, it's a major player, a major piece for the Saints offense. And it's a huge year for Dennis Allen, the head coach. I'm sure he'd like this to be resolved so he can figure out what they're going to do with their team if he does get suspended for 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever it may be. It's a big year for Alvin Kamara for sure. You know, like you just brought up with his contract and all that. Yeah, now he's got to deal with this. Will he get suspended? I don't know, right? And he's being paid as one of the two highest paid running backs in football. And he hasn't, you know, played to that capability or stayed healthy to that capability the last 2 years. He's still real good, but I don't think anybody puts Alvin Kamara in the, oh, he's the best running back in football conversation, you know. But he's very important to their offense, what they do there. And, I'll be interested to see what happens here, Mike. I mean, I don't know. What are you expecting? You have an expectation going into this? Do you think we're going to see a 1-2-game suspension because of this incident?
After the Ray Rice incident in 2014, the NFL changed the personal conduct policy to make the baseline punishment for any physical assault 6 games. But it can go up and it can go down.
Right.
So I think the goal would be to try to argue that there should be something significantly lower than 6. That's where this idea of provocation comes into play. Self-defense, whatever it is that he tries to articulate to the commissioner, that's a precursor to the argument that will be advanced to Judge Sue L. Robinson. And even though the meeting's happening just now, things can move pretty quickly. They've known about this for a long time.
Sure.
They were just waiting for the criminal case to end. The criminal case ended fairly recently. One of the things they learned from the Ray Rice case and others is don't make any judgments until we know exactly what's gone on with the potential for criminal charges. So now that that's over, they can move forward. And I think they could expedite. They could get Judge Robinson. I assume they're paying her well when they activate the bat signal for her services. They'll get her on board. It's not a complicated hearing.
Right.
It's not going to take a week. It's a day, probably. If it's more than a day, it's a day and a half. She issues her ruling. The NFL handles the appeal if there is one, and they get it all done by week one. The other possibility, too, and we have to take this into account because Kamara resolved without litigation the criminal cases, resolved without litigation the civil case, they could just reach a settlement. He could meet with the commissioner, and then the NFL's lawyers and Kamara's representatives can hammer out a 1 or 2-game suspension, and that's it, and we just move on. That's possible as well.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll see where it goes. I mean, you know, the Saints, like we talked about, Jamal Williams there, right? So he's certainly going to have to, pull the workman's load, right, or whatever there for Alvin Kamara. They did draft that Kendre Miller from TCU, who has a lot of Alvin Kamara-type skills. He reminds me of him. When I was doing my draft evaluation. So I would think, you know, hey, yeah, they need Alvin Kamara. I would also say I would think this is Alvin Kamara's last year as being a New Orleans Saints, unless he takes a dramatic salary reduction or something along those lines. But it'll be interesting to see, because I know you and I are both on the Saints. Could be one of those teams that didn't make the playoffs last year, but there's some pieces there where you go, when I got to really pick the NFC playoff picture, the Saints might be one of those teams I pick, you know, out of nowhere to kind of join the party here this year, because there is some good to go around with the new quarterback in Derek Carr.
After this year, his salary goes to $10.2 million. I mean,
what is it?
How much? $10.2 million next year. What have we learned this year?
Yeah, that's too much.
No one's paying him $10.2 million
right.
next year.
Right.
And then the year after that, that's the Fugazi year that bumped the average to $15 million. That's one of the things that the union pointed out on the running back call that they did. Hey, some of these agents are doing these deals that create average salaries that aren't real.
Yeah.
So you guys get ideas in your heads that are unfounded.
Right.
Alvin Kamara's not making $15 million a year.
Right.
The only reason you think it's $15 million is because he got a $25 million compensation package on the phony final year that drove the average from 13.5 to 15.
Right.
So he's got this year, next year.
Right.
Next year's not happening without a major contract restructuring. And you know what? Next year is the year I start thinking, does he end up in Denver with Sean Payton? Mm-hmm. Sean Payton's the guy who discovered it.
Sure. I don't think that's a crazy thought at all, right? Come there. You know, we got Javonte Williams. He'll be our go-to, you know, between the tackles, pounding in there type of runner. But Alvin, who has great value, we know as a runner, but his real value is that, you know, as we talk about with Christian McCaffrey and some of these other running backs in football, he's like a receiver running routes out of the backfield. That's where he's awesome. We know Sean Payton loves to do that. I could certainly see that happening a year from now. You're onto something there.
In Dallas, they've moved on from Ezekiel Elliott. Tony Pollard getting $10.1 million as the franchise tag player. Ronald Jones added as a free agent. He's been suspended a couple of games for a PED violation. Here's both owner Jerry Jones and coach Mike McCarthy talking about whether or not a return from Ezekiel Elliott is an option now that Ronald Jones will miss the first two games.
For the world's greatest athletes,
this is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
Dear listener, please close your eyes for this movie theater meditation brought to you by Fandango. Breathe in. Smell the fresh popcorn. Now exhale. Open your eyes and proceed to the best seats in the house you reserved on Fandango. Recline. Now, download the free Fandango app for movie times, tickets, and seats at your favorite theaters. Fandango. It's your ticket to the movies.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
He's his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA, and Peacock.
Look, you got the pads on yesterday for the first time. It's hard to appreciate Zeke without pads because that'd be his game. And when you put that pad on and you realize the collisions that can happen for you, just his protection and blocking, then all of a sudden you start thinking about the kinds of things you ought to be thinking about when you're evaluating at camp. Now, he's not ruled out at all here.
It's a young room. We knew that going in. So the development, you know, of all those guys, you know, so far has been impressive, you know. And I thought that the running back group as a whole, you know, had a solid day yesterday. For particularly, you know, a lot of the new things that we're asking these guys to do. You know, our protection, you know, outlook is different than it was, you know, the past 3 years. So there's more on those guys' plates. So, you know, we'll just continue to develop the room.
Look, here's the problem with bringing back Ezekiel Elliott during the Ronald Jones suspension. Once Jones is back,
right,
who becomes the guy that plays special teams?
Exactly.
You need the young guy yep. to play special teams.
Yep.
So unless they're done with Ronald Jones and they're just going to cut him before week one, that's the only reason you bring Ezekiel Elliott back, to take that spot on the depth chart.
Yeah.
Because once you get past RB2, you are into guy who's on the punt team, guy who's on the kickoff team, and Ezekiel Elliott's not going to play special teams. And Ronald Jones is at a point where he's not going to play special teams either. That's where you fill in the guys that we've not collectively heard of, who, if they make their bones in that setting, end up getting chances to play offense. And then the next thing you know, hey, that guy's pretty good. Let's go buy his jersey and let's get him on our fantasy yeah. team. That's kind of how it works for some of these lesser known running backs on the way in.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they explain the value of Zeke. That, I mean, the pads, yes. He's a pads, a contact runner. That's what he is. He does all the little things right. He's the ultimate professional that way. Like Jerry Jones said, blitz pickup, you know, knows what to do, everything within the offense, right? So he'd be a great placeholder. But yeah, you're going to be in a little bit of conundrum when Ronald Jones does get back, like you said. And, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are in a little bit of a conundrum here. We're talking about a year here where we know is a big year for Dallas and Jerry Jones and then Mike McCarthy, and Dak Prescott's coming off of, you know, one of the lesser years of his career with all the mistakes. We heard McCarthy in the early offseason, I want to get back to running the football more. And here they are with Tony Pollard will not be 100% like what we know of him week one. That's not going to happen. It's too soon after that injury to think that. So it's going to be a while before we see him full systems go. They got Ronald Jones to be the guy that could kind of hold down the fort a little bit for him to do that. So now you go, wait, we're into Deuce Vaughn category and some other guys that are totally unproven at this point.
Have you seen clips of Deuce
Vaughn? I mean, yeah.
Somebody characterized
looks like mini me out there.
It looks like a kid like stole something and he's running away from the grown-ups.
Yeah, right.
Like it's... It's
he's
5'5
and change.
It is jarring.
Right,
oh,
there he is.
Right
look
on
at
cue.
It.
Jill's going to be impressed.
I mean, Darren Sproles is short, but this guy's shorter than Darren Sproles.
There's one where he goes through the line. Now you're going to have
to catch the punt
better than that dude. He is so small, and you don't have to be a giant to be a running back.
No.
Low center of gravity. If they don't know where the guy with the ball is, that's an effective way to advance the ball.
Yeah.
He is just so small. Something seems wrong about it, but something seems so right about it. When he's next to Dak Prescott, it's like Father Sunday at football practice. It's amazing. Oh, well.
Well, I wonder if, I mean, what's Dallas going to do here, right? Ronald Jones suspended 2 games, right? And Tony Pollard, like we talked about, lower leg injury that was pretty significant with the breaking of the fibula and what was it, the dislocated ankle, I believe, too, right? It was kind of a double whammy there.
Sounds right.
Yeah. And then, so there's no bell cow, no proven commodity there. We know there's some running backs on the street. We know Zeke Elliott's there, right? But is that really what they want to do? You know, again, my problem with Zeke Elliott is, yes, he does all the little things great, and he's a great professional. I have ultimate respect for him. But as you've heard me say the last 2 years, there's been some holes there where I go, that should be a 30-yard gain, and Tony Pollard should be in, and it was an 8-yard gain because Zeke couldn't make the guy miss or didn't have enough speed, right? So you look at it right now, without Pollard, without Ronald Jones, who is the guy that can go above and beyond and do some of that stuff for their offense? There's nobody. Now, there are some running backs out on the street. And do they start to look at somebody like that? I mean, Kareem Hunt's still out there, right? We know Leonard Fournette's still out there. We saw Damian Williams from the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl run and all that. He worked out for somebody yesterday,
Raiders,
right? Yeah.
With Rex Burkhead.
Right. So I'm just interested to see what they're going to do or who they're going to dust off here to maybe, you know, fill some of these roles.
And the problem with bringing Zeke back, because he was such a big part of the franchise, and there's an expectation.
I agreed.
And there's a
yes.
Like, it doesn't feel right to have him not playing.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel
And I think
right.
you're going to get clamoring from the fans yeah. and all that.
Where's Zeke?
Become,
we
where's
want
Zeke?
Zeke.
Right.
We
and
want
you're going to get distractions
yeah.
that way. And I think they know that. I think
it's
that's
better
why
to have
trying.
Somebody that there's no
right.
history with.
I think they're trying not to do the Zeke thing but while also speaking in, hey, he's on the radar and we respect him. They're
I
trying to do right
I
by
think
him.
I figured it out.
What do you
I think?
Think?
I figured it out.
But
they got a backlog of Zeke jerseys that Jerry's trying to sell. I mean, really? Right? Keep the light on. So just in case you can sell, I bet if we pull up the Cowboys website right now, we'll find Ezekiel Elliott jerseys still for sale. Mike McCarthy doesn't care about that. Jerry does. He's got merchandise. He's got to move. So if we can create the impression Zeke might be back, then maybe we'll sell the last of these jerseys. I say that half jokingly.
Yeah, no, I know you do. I know. I know you're saying it half jokingly.
And it's more serious than joke.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Trust All me. Right. I know. It's also funny how your brain works sometimes.
Business issues for the Oakland Raiders and Josh Jacobs, who has the $10.1 million franchise tag mm-hmm. that he has yet to accept.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders reportedly are open to restarting talks with Josh Jacobs to get him come back to camp. And the model is already out there.
Right.
The Saquon Barkley.
Exactly.
Let's give you an incentive
extra.
Package.
Right.
We'll give you a little more. You come have a big year, and you'll get an extra $909,000 like Saquon Barkley. I think this is, and this is another –
Go ahead. Let's hear
I just
it.
It's not conspiracy no. theory. We've seen stuff like this happen.
But what is it?
This is the Raiders laying the foundation to remove the tender. They are going to if he doesn't accept the 10-1, they're going to pull it. So, this kind of thing sprinkles the earth with the idea that they're being reasonable. Don't get mad when we take away the $10.1 million for the guy that you want on the team, Raiders
yeah,
fans.
Right.
We tried.
Okay.
We've tried.
Right.
We wanted that. And he says no. So he's the one that's being obstinate. He's the one that's being difficult. He's the one that you should be mad at, not us. We had to eventually move on, collect our $10.1 million, and spend it elsewhere.
Well, I'm not going to say you're wrong with that thought. That's warranted. It definitely is. I get that. I think you and I are both of like, get into camp, get there, sign the damn.
You're in checkmate.
Right. There's
just
nothing
knock,
you can
don't,
do.
Don't they knock the king over when you're in
yeah,
checkmate?
They do. I don't play chess, but right.
Just knock the king over, Josh
over.
Jacobs. The system sucks.
Yeah.
You've been
get
taken advantage of.
Right.
You shouldn't have played running back. All that stuff. We're on your side. Go get your $10.1
right.
million. Dollars.
Right.
Tony Pollard made the smartest move by anyone, any team, any person this offseason by grabbing the 10-1 when he did in March because
yeah.
it'd be gone by now if he had.
Yeah, no, I agreed. And I'm all in favor of that. And don't mess this up and sit out the year, and that's not going to do anybody good, especially you. I'm going to take, and this is why you and I are good. You know, you're frick, I'm frack, whatever. You're cold, I'm hot, right?
Man, anytime you start pronouncing words like that, I wonder why. Geez, that's too close, Regis Philbin.
But I take it more of we've been in training camp for a few days, and we're not the same without Josh Jacobs. That would be also what I would glean into it, right? I don't think your glean is wrong.
Is it better to be frick or frack?
I don't know. I don't really know which one's which, right? But I also could take it to that. A little bit like we just hit with the Dallas Cowboys, I look at it and go, hey, we know there's a microscope on Josh McDaniels. There's going to be until he gets in the playoffs because of whatever. What happened in Denver, you know, he's been an underling for Belichick. There's that narrative that those coaches never are great, whatever. So he's got it on him. And then we got Jimmy Garoppolo, who, you know, he hasn't practiced all year. He didn't practice much last year. So I'm sure he's rusty. I could certainly see them going, wait, we drafted Zamir White. He's not quite what we thought he was going to be. And, whoa, we're not the same team without 28 in here. And I wonder if that's starting to ring through the building a little bit to go, let's get him in here and maybe add some juice to the contract.
But here's the reality for the Raiders this year. You know how you like to say that the Texans are the only team in the AFC that has no chance to make the playoffs?
Second.
And, God, I hope they make it.
Yeah.
The Raiders are in that next
cut.
They're
the second one. I would agree with you.
When
you
consider the division they're in.
Right.
And with Garoppolo and just the very real possibility he gets injured again, and then it's Brian Hoyer at quarterback. When you're talking about the Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Russell Wilson, if he turns it around division, they're going to get left in the dust with or without Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, they're not there yet. They're not. You know, they're not. I actually had a conversation with a friend the other day. He was going, you know, the Raiders, and I was like, I don't know. I think they're on the up and up, but I think think we got to continue to give this time. The question I posed, I said, other than the pass rushers, tell me somebody else on the Raiders defense. I said that to my friend. And they went, oh, and I said, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Right. So they're not ready for prime time yet. If you, you know, my friend who's a football fan, you can't name anybody on their defense other than Max Crosby and Chandler Jones. And so I think just from that basic principle right there, they're still in the process of building this thing to where they want. You know, I've always been one, hey, the New England guys, you got to let it take some time, let their magic, their detail, their work all come together. But yes, I'm with you in the fact that Texans are candidate number one, where I'd say, yes, they're the only team in the AFC I'd cancel out of the playoff conversation. If I had to go to that next team, yeah, it probably would be the Raiders, Mike.
By the way, before we show visual evidence of merchandise that can be purchased,
right,
that Gotham City hoodie.
Yeah.
What size are you?
Ooh, I'll do extra large.
Just an XL?
Yeah, I think so.
You could fit an XL with those
so.
Giant
those
pterodactyl
guns?
Arms.
Are you giving me those guns?
No, I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the reach.
I thought you were saying my muscles look good today.
No. All right. I may have a line on one.
Oh,
for you
might have one, huh? Yeah. You got some connections?
Yeah. I may give it to you if you do the show Friday.
Damn. I don't know about that. It's a good sweatshirt. I don't know if it's that good.
Now you can buy an Ezekiel Elliott jersey if you would like. Pete has pulled up.
Okay.
To the great delight, surely, of my wife, if she's watching today, how quickly they work in the control room. There it is. And they are $71 and
free
less,
shipping.
Depending upon the quality. Free shipping, please. All must go. Buy. B-U-Y. Oh, there's 168. That must be the real one.
Yeah,
the Tackle
be.
Twill. Remember, that was a big deal. There was a time when, like, all of the teams except the Cowboys had the cheap painted-on numbers.
Yes.
That after you wash it a certain number
right.
of times, it's just gone.
Right.
And the Cowboys had that stitched
yeah,
on.
Stitched
so they were more
in.
Expensive.
Yeah.
They called it Tackle 12. Because I remember like looking through the
right.
Sears catalog. It's like, oh, why is that more expensive? Because it's nicer. So anyway, now they're all that way. So
they're
you get the
way.
Nice high-end jersey. I guess 168, you get a nice high-end Ezekiel Elliott jersey. You'll be ready to go for when they possibly re-sign him, even though they're not going to. Jerry wants you to think they might.
Yeah, okay. You buy that and then buy me the Gotham City
sweatshirt.
I don't
have to buy it. You think I would buy it for you?
You're right. You are wearing your Howie Roseman pants today, aren't you? Are
no, them? These fit.
Oh, those fit? Okay.
Yeah, these fit.
I didn't get to fully watch you. Yeah.
It was the Under Armour shirt. That,
with the carpenter pants. That you,
it's way too
yeah,
big.
Yeah, right.
It may be these pants, but
I don't know if it was.
I don't know.
It might not be.
Who cares?
I know.
Who cares? It's just clothes. I mean, I'm 58. What
right.
the hell?
Yeah.
What am I going to wear?
I don't know.
I guess before we take a break, I guess Tyler Lockett got married and DK Metcalf wore tuxedo shorts.
Did he really?
Well,
when you're
who
DK
can pull
Metcalf,
that off?
You don't need much clothes.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Pull that
just
off.
Like, whoa, look at that guy.
Maybe it was only tuxedo shorts and nothing else.
You can pull it off. Everybody would be pleased, that's for sure.
All right, let's go ahead and take a break. More PFT Live from close to Canton right after this.
You know, this is the third year of a three-year plan, and I think what I see that I like a lot is Coach Smith and Terry Fontenot, laid out a very careful, thoughtful, kind of methodical plan on what they were going to do with the roster going back, you know, several years now, and I think they've been very disciplined. I expect us to certainly win more games than we've won the last couple of years. And where that puts us and what number that'll be, I'm not sure. But go out and get ready and play every game as hard as we can. And with the talent that we have now on both sides of the ball, we ought to end up with some pretty good results.
It is jarring to see Falcons owner Arthur Blank,
in a
who
t-shirt?
I don't think I've ever seen in anything but a suit
yeah,
and tie.
Yeah.
In a Falcons t-shirt.
Yeah, I don't know if I have either.
Now, I don't know how old he is,
he's
but he
still
looks
looking
like
pretty
he's in pretty
good.
Good
he's got
shape.
Some
he can
muscles
pull
in
off
there.
The t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
He fills out that t-shirt
if
better than you would.
If man, I have it. My itch
yeah,
followed
yeah,
all
it,
the way
keep
down.
Getting it.
If you have the physique at 70 whatever.
That's impressive.
Wear the t-shirt, baby.
Right, that's right.
Go for it, Artie.
Man, I mean, seriously, In all the, like mid-70s, late-70s, you're talking with Arthur Blank? That's probably up there, right?
But I hope he's not like 65.
He's obviously lived.
He's owned that team 20 years, and he was.
I'm confident in that.
I'd say he's pushing 80.
He's usually,
I'll say over or under is 76.5, and I'll take the over by not much.
Usually dressed to a T, but yeah, there's definitely he's been definitely hitting the weights. So good for him.
He's 80.
That's what I was going to say. Wow. I thought he was in his 80s.
See, I got to revisit my position. I got to revisit my position that I'm willing to drop dead right before I turn 80. I mean, if I look like him at 80, I'll hang around for a couple more years.
Yeah, I think so. I know.
Maybe a couple.
A couple?
If I make it that far. All right. So, Arthur Blank expects them to win more games than they won the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. They've won 7 games each of the past couple of years.
Yeah, they've won more than we expected those 2 years.
You think the Falcons, like, oh, the Falcons, 4 wins. No, 7-10, 7-10. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm pretty damn sure it's 7-10 and 7-10.
You're right.
So they're right there. Like, if you're 7-10, that means you're alive until the last week or two of the season. So if they win more games than they did last year, they're in the playoff hunt. So he's basically saying, I expect to be in the playoff hunt.
I expect them to be. I think they're that team that, you know, I know we hit on the Saints a little while ago. I think the Falcons are that other team. When people ask me, hey, who's a team that could surprise everybody this year? Falcons are usually on my short list that I, you know, tell Johnny Muscles at the weight room. I go, watch out for the Falcons.
You mean Arthur?
Yeah, right. We're there doing curls together. But yes, you know, for what you said, I think, overperformed for what the talent they've had on their roster the last few years. I'm a big Arthur Smith fan. You know, he's old school. They're into being physical. They're going to do the things the right way. They manage the game a certain way that gives them the best chance. And then I think they were quietly one of the teams that won the offseason. I think that's what I look at, you know, some of the trades, the signing of Jesse Bates, right? Signing a Bud Dupree, who's got a chance to really hit for them. Their offensive line was really good already. They drafted an awesome offensive lineman in the second round. They are a running football team, and they are going to base it around their top 10 pick in Bijan Robinson, who now is going to be the guy there. The big question is just the quarterback and Desmond Ridder, who I know they believe in. But, yeah, can he, you know, be consistent, play at a level that can get them over the top in some of those 50-50 close-type football games? But, yeah, I see a lot of positives with that Falcons football team.
When you look at the array of weapons they have on offense, adding Bijan Robinson to Kyle Pitts and Tyler Allgeier and Cordell Patterson and Drake London.
Right.
It's stunning how good they could be. But the straw that's going to stir the drink – and distribute the football is Desmond Ridder. Here's Arthur Blank from yesterday talking about his expectation that Desmond Ridder will become the guy that they drafted him to be.
I like a young quarterback, and, you know, people look at just the last 4 games last year and they say, well, based on those 4 games, but he really, you know, progressed from the time he came on campus here after he was drafted and had a good camp, and he's been a strong leader since he's shown up here, continued to develop. I think he worked well with Mariota last year, learned a lot from Marcus. And he's a learner. He's got a lot of humility, and as the year progressed, he had an opportunity to play, and I think he played at a very competitive level. The last 4 games, each game seemed to be a little bit better. So, you know, we feel pretty strongly that, you know, he's going to be our quarterback of the future, you know, we got to play games and we got to see, but we feel good about him.
He's also perfected the move where you get the grip on the podium and you show just enough of the bottom of the gun. It's just like showing the holster of the of your pistol, just a little bit.
I don't know
just
anything about showing
there.
The holster of my pistol, but
well, you know what I mean.
Yeah, I got you.
The handle
shows just enough.
A holster.
Yes,
okay, anyway, Desmond Ridder is a guy that gets a lot of criticism because the tangibles aren't there. They've believed in the intangibles.
Yes,
and they've
that's right.
firmly believed in the intangibles.
Yes, sir.
The leadership qualities. That's
right.
Why they were attracted to him.
Right.
And so if they can coach the tangibles into him, then he can be that guy.
Right.
And there's still – look, last year was a weird season with Marcus Mariota, but there's still that lingering Matt Ryan and what he did. So there's a high bar there that's kind of floating. But it's going to be easier for Desmond Ridder just go out there and – just get the ball into the hands of your playmakers.
Manage the offense. Don't make big mistakes. Right?
You don't have to thread a needle 25 yards down the field on the left sideline.
Right.
There's ways you can get the ball to your playmakers. Yep. Be smart about it. Don't complicate it. And maybe, you know, the stats will come from it. Like a little screen pass that the guy takes 40 yards still shows in the stat book is 1 for 1, 40 yards, and a touchdown if he takes it to the end zone. It doesn't matter how far you actually throw it. So if you can do all those things and just be at the center of the storm, I think the challenge they're going to have is keeping all those guys happy.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
There's too many mouths to feed.
Right,
and Ritter's going to be the one that's got to deal with, you know, the receiver coming back saying, I'm open,
why are you getting the ball? Yes, they're going to have that. It's a good problem. You know, Desmond Ritter, you know, you said it right. First off, when we met him at the Combine or 2 years ago, it was, I think you weren't there that 1 year, and it was the year you stayed home. But he was the guy, and I think people here in NBC could attest that when I got done, I went, he's got, you know, it as far as the personality and just the demeanor and all that. He really jumped out to me that way. He did. And to piggyback off of what you said, yeah, I've talked to people down there, and that's exactly what they express, that he's got – something, he's made of the right stuff to where they see things to where there's a future. Now, yeah, he's not there yet. He made improvements in his throwing motion. There's still some work to do there, certainly. But he's smart. He's a great leader. He's selfless. He knows how to communicate in the locker room. You know, he's a worker. He's a pretty good athlete, so he can run. And now we got read option and stuff like that that's going to become available for that football team. So that's what they believe in. They're taking the approach of, the Titans did, right? It's not going to be all about the quarterback. We're going to be a really good team. We just need the quarterback to not make mistakes, and when a guy's open, hit him. Or the early years New England Patriots, or even, let's just say, the Seattle Seahawks and what they did. They drafted Russell Wilson in the third round. They didn't expect him definitely to be a superstar. So they're hoping to kind of hit that jackpot right there. And that's where, you know, it'll be interesting to see what he did. It was better last year, better than I expected at the end of the year. But, yeah, there's some work to be done there. But I'm excited about, you know, what he can do and what this Falcons team might look like.
Pete pointed out to me their schedule, and I hadn't studied it carefully. They play, and this is true of all the teams in the NFC South.
Yeah.
They play all the teams of the AFC South,
right,
which is not stacked
favorable,
top to bottom.
Right.
They play all the teams of the NFC North, which is wide open and full of question
marks. You could argue those are the two worst divisions in football, man.
And even though they were 7-10,
yeah,
they finished in fourth place in their division.
Yeah.
So, because the other teams were 7-10.
Right.
The other two, the Saints and the Panthers and the Bucks, were 8-9, and they won the division by that one game margin. So the Falcons get to play the Cardinals.
Right.
And the Falcons get to play the Commanders.
Yeah.
While the other teams play higher positioning franchises from the NFC West and the NFC East. So, and we see how close it is in the final analysis. If the difference is you got to play the Cardinals and we had to play the Seahawks, which is the difference for the Falcons and the Panthers.
Right.
That's one of the differences.
Yeah.
Schedule's the same,
right,
except you get to check the box with the Cardinals, assuming the Cardinals are what we think they're going to be, and we got to get our butts kicked by the Seahawks. That game right there may be the whole difference between getting in and not getting in.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely set up for them to make the run and make some waves here this year. And, yeah, them and the Saints are two teams that I look at in the NFC to go, yeah, there's some things there. And maybe even more on the Atlanta Falcons, because I feel like there's some really young talent that they can kind of gel here together and have a nucleus here for quite some time. I think that's what excites. You explained it, the stars. You talk about Pitts and Drake London and Bijan Robinson and Desmond Ritter, and they just got Jesse Bates, you know, in the secondary. A.J. Terrell, when healthy, is one of the better corners in football, right? They still got Grady Jackson in the middle of that defense. I mean, they got a good blend of young future and still some guys that have been there and done that and can lead those guys into the future a little too, which I like.
Jeff Okuda, the third overall pick from a couple of years ago, who's got something to prove.
Exactly. No doubt about it. And, you know, again, Jeff Okuda's a good player. He didn't live up to third pick of the draft, right? But he's still a good player. And he's one of those guys, like we talk about with Evan Ingram and some of them, that just needed a new fresh start. The negativity was just too hard or too much where he got drafted. So we'll see what the Falcons can do. But, yeah, they're a team I got faith in. The coaches on both sides of the ball are some of my favorites.
I know at the end of the day you have a feeling as to who's going to be in position to have their hands on the trophy, and it's going to be hard to pick against the Chiefs.
Yeah.
But it's going to be a crazy ride to get there.
Definitely.
So these some of these divisions are like this one, the NFC South is the most wide open. I don't know who I ultimately am going to pick to win. And maybe something stupid like this scheduling factor makes the difference,
yeah.
The scheduling quirk
yeah.
that benefits the Falcons to the detriment of the other three. Maybe that makes the final, they're the ones who are going to rise up.
Yeah, could be.
All right, let's take a break. With Nathaniel Hackett in the news so much recently, we're going to have a draft of the most important coordinators, or more accurately, the coordinators under the most pressure as 2023 approaches. PFT Live from the Hall of Fame, sort of, returns right after this.
I'm not going to name any names, but there are people out there who say you're overrated because you're in the New York media market. And your take is like, I've been an underdog all my life. How do you balance these two things?
I just be laughing at it. You know what I mean? I was always the overlooked one. You know, I ain't have all those big offers coming out of high school. I mean, I went to Cincinnati. Like, they're Power 5 schools now, but they wasn't there first. So, like, now it's like, man, for me, like, now I'm overrated. But back then when it was other corners, five-star corners, and it was like this, this, and that, it was, oh, yeah, he the underdog, this, and that. It's like, when I'm making plays, then all of a sudden I'm overrated. So it just be weird to me, but, you know, like I said, I keep the main thing.
Sauce Gardner with Maria Taylor. You'll see more of that tomorrow night in the pregame show. Starts at 7 o'clock Eastern on NBC and Peacock in advance of the first game of the 2023 season, the Pro Football Hall of Fame game, New York Jets. Taking on the Cleveland Browns. We talked earlier about the Jets and Nathaniel Hackett and how much pressure he's under. And I don't know how much pressure there really is. When you have Aaron Rodgers, it's hard to say there's pressure. He's going to be under a lot of scrutiny after last year. Yeah. And these comments from Sean Payton make it a bigger deal. Our draft for today, the coordinators under the most pressure for 2023. I got a pretty long list. I see you scribbling over there old school style. I got mine on my phone. Shouldn't it be the other way around?
Shouldn't I be the
one who's scribbling
this
with
a
pen?
This is one thing that I need to make an adjustment with my life is I got to start to be a little more digital when it comes to my note-taking and stuff like that.
Yeah, you were just complaining about the
I know. How dare you call me out on my wrongness?
Captain
How dare
Planet.
You? I know.
You're killing trees left and right
I'm
with your notebooks.
It kills me. And
you're like Rain Man with those notebooks.
I am. But that's, you know, first off, I'm a big, like, I'm into – my memory, I remember things better when I write it as compared to typing. I don't know why that is. Do you have that problem?
Well, no, because whatever I write, I don't know what it was when I go back and look at it. Like, I keep notes from time to time because I try to keep to-do lists, and I'm more likely to actually remember to do the things on the to-do list if it's on a piece of paper in front of me.
Yes.
But then I'll pick it up, and it's like, what the hell is that? What am I supposed to do? First item on every to-do list, write the to-do list so you know what the hell you're supposed to do.
Yeah. Well,
I do that all the time because I just do it real quick, and it's like, I'll know what that is.
You can't read what the hell it is. Yeah. I know. I think I got to get that iPad and, you know, the whatever, the touch pen, and I might try to do that next year. Right.
Do you still – like, I remember being in school as a lefty when we used pencils.
Every now and then.
I'd come home. Yeah. And the whole – anybody out there has been left-handed. The world discriminates against lefties.
Yeah.
You would have this streak of graphite down your entire hand.
I still do it. Certain pens that are maybe a little too inky or whatever, right? I definitely will get it on the left hand in that spot you're talking about.
Hopefully I never had an open wound that was seeping into.
Well, it wouldn't. Might explain a lot. I mean, you know, I don't know. Got in your brain, you know.
Right.
Did you eat paint chips as a kid?
I don't know. Coordinators under the most pressure for 2023. Who you got?
All right. I think I'm going to go to Dallas and Brian Schottenheimer. I think that's where I'm going to start right off the bat.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting choice.
You know,
I thought it's all McCarthy now.
That's where I was going to kind of say that too. Yeah. It's a tag team duo there. But I think we're all going to be looking at that, right? I mean, their offense statistically has been, you know, towards the top of football. They got rid of an offensive coordinator. They want to change how they play and be a little bit more run first. One of the things that I've always questioned about both the guys that you just said, I mean, McCarthy or Schottenheimer, is how deep their passing game playbook is. I was a little underwhelmed with McCarthy's pass game playbook. You know that when he at the end of his tenure with Green Bay. It was very simple. So, and then I just feel like there's – and then the Dak Prescott interception thing, get him back on track, right? The last two or three years – I mean, really, I feel like Dak, ever since he hurt his ankle, has not been quite the same as what he was before that. And – So that's where I'll put them under the most pressure here for my first pick.
You know, I've got my list that I have on my phone.
Yeah.
Pete's put some names here, and Pete reminded me of one, even though I've got a bunch here. I got to go Chargers offensive coordinator Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
And here's why. We don't think of it this way,
right?
But there have been times in the past where you have a defensive coach who's on the hot seat, who needs his offense to get better in a hurry.
Yeah.
And he hasn't been able to find an offensive coordinator because
right.
that guy knows going in the door. I remember when Lovie Smith was with the Bears, they couldn't find a coordinator. They eventually dusted off Mike Martz. But you're getting everybody fired if you don't get the job done. And if Kellen Moore doesn't get it done with Justin Herbert, everybody's gone.
Yeah.
Everybody's out.
Yeah.
It's over. Now, Moore just got fired in Dallas, so he doesn't care. But the pressure on him, the literal pressure, every coaching job in the building is riding on Kellen Moore. Because if they don't get it done this year, especially after the $52.5 million per year extension given to Justin Herbert, if they don't get it done this year, if they don't get to the playoffs, minimum playoffs, and they can't survive another, hey, we're up 28-0, let's take our foot off the gas, and there it goes. If they don't get to the playoffs and maybe even win a game, and we already know the buzzards are circling for that job, everybody's gone.
Agreed. I mean, that would have probably been my other first pick. And it's kind of funny. But, yeah, I think with everything you're saying there, everybody recognizes that Justin Herbert's special, right? And that last offense didn't fit him. So that's where I look at it. It's crazy. I mean, Kellen Moore, let me just say this. This is where it's crazy. And this is what ultimately led me to go with the Dallas guys as my first one. I mean, he was the offensive coordinator of, out of the last 4 years, the number one offense in football and the number two offense in football. And then 1 year was Dak Prescott getting hurt, where I think they were still top 12. And the other year, last year, they were like top 10 or 11.
Why'd they fire him?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm not sure what it is. But that's the reason. But to your point, I agree with your pick. But it's just crazy when you kind of lay it out in those terms a little bit. And that's why I went with Dallas first. But, yeah, it's a big year for Kellen Moore. We want to see what he can do. You're right. The whole organization is kind of teetering on him. We heard enough rumors and things to think that Jim Harbaugh, and Sean Payton liked that Chargers job last year. And if this, you know, doesn't look good, other candidates are going to be looking at that one too. All right. I'm going to go with Aaron Glenn on the Lions, defensive coordinator. I mean, again, I think it's just the expectations of the Detroit Lions, right? They've made some improvements on their roster, definitely. But they were the last defense in football last year, number 32. And we're talking about a team who's opening the season up against the Kansas City Chiefs. And everybody's looking at, ooh, are the Lions next, right? I don't question the offense. I think the offense is going to be good no matter what. I mean, Ben Johnson is really good, but they got a ton of talent there. Aaron Glenn, the talent isn't quite as good as it is on the offense, certainly. And then the way things looked last year and all that, if they want to be where people are projecting them to be, that defense has to be significantly better. And that's why I'll look at Aaron Glenn, because I think a lot of people will put him under the spotlight if things don't go the right way.
I'm going to go with the guy that we mentioned yesterday when we were rattling off all the players in Pittsburgh that could be great on that offense.
Yeah.
I do a segment every Wednesday afternoon. This week I did it yesterday. Because we're going to be tied up today, but 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, and Andrew Filippone, I mean, he's been trying to fire Matt Canada, I think, for as long as I've been doing it, if not longer. So Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator of the Steelers, I think is under a ton of pressure, because whether or not that offense goes, you can't say you don't have great players.
No.
You can't say you're devoid of talent. And Mike Tomlin is kind of, if not entirely, hands-off on the offense.
Right.
So Canada's got to get it done. I don't know. At the end of the day, Art Rooney, is he going to make a change? I don't know. I feel like he's the one that makes those calls, not the head coach.
Yep.
But at some point, it becomes glaring, and there's been a ton of criticism and a ton of focus on Matt Canada. And with that many great players, it's on him to make it work.
Good pick. Good. There's no excuses this year, right? I think we could go, oh, Big Ben was old and not the same. And, you know, oh, last year it was a rookie quarterback, and their offensive line hasn't been very good. Their offensive line should be better. You said it. The receivers, the tight ends, the running back, they're all good. We got to start seeing some results on the field for them. All right, we going one more pick here?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to go Todd Monken of the Ravens. All right, I'm going to go there. I mean, of course, I mean, we're all talking about it. Is Lamar Jackson in the passing game? Is he going to take off? I think the Ravens are a team that's in the Super Bowl conversation. You know, and so they made a big change there, leaving Greg Roman, firing him, going to Todd Monken, who's now coming back from college, back in the NFL, and yeah, got some moving parts and some personalities to deal with. I'll take him, as there's a lot of pressure on
him. Yeah, we just assumed that this guy's Bill Walsh.
I know, like everyone's just going, hey, he's coming in, they're going to be better, and it's just, dude, we'll see.
I think the concern there is,
yeah,
that it's like a kid playing Madden, or a grown-up, as the case may be. You got that one play that always works, that whenever you're having any difficulty whatsoever, you revert back to what you know works. They've got all this stuff drawn up, and OBJ, and they drafted your Zay Flowers, your guy from Boston College, and they you know, they've got two tight ends that can get it done, and they're going to pass, Third and six, when in doubt, let Lamar be Lamar. That's going to be the temptation, not lean into the easy first down,
yeah,
the easy gotta-have-it play, because you still have Lamar Jackson at quarterback. Can they discipline themselves? It's going to be up to Todd Monken to get the players, to get Lamar Jackson to discipline themselves. That's going to be the challenge.
Yeah.
All right, Bill O'Brien.
Bill O'Brien.
After everything that happened last year with Mac Jones, with Bill Belichick, with that team's going to go as far as the offense takes them. And if they don't get to the playoffs, it could be. Who knows?
I know.
Who knows?
I'm with you.
If you pay attention to what Robert Kraft is saying, the signs are there that Bill Belichick might need to get to the playoffs in order to be back next year. Well, it makes Bill O'Brien no different than Kellen Moore then.
Right.
It's all on him. He's got to turn around the weakness of the team, and if he doesn't do it sufficiently, it could be everyone's gone. And the carrot for him, the brass ring for him, is if the Browns don't get it done and they want to make a change, why wouldn't they bring Bill O'Brien to coach Deshaun Watson again?
That's a valid point. You're right. And, you know, there is pressure. There's a spotlight. But also I look at it and go, damn, everybody's just going to be, whoa, thank God he's here this year too. So there might be a breath of fresh air too, that just Billy O'Brien.
Until they start losing.
And then once he results, and Mac Jones
is dropping F-bombs. Right. We got to take a break because we still have three segments to go, and we only have 15 minutes left of show. So we'll be back, and then we'll be gone right after this.
On Sirius, you were talking about the quarterbacks, and you said we'll give them a chance to compete and see how it goes. Is that implying that the quarterback job is kind of open for a competition during camp?
Everybody's out here competing. It's all 90 guys. Yeah, that's what we're all here for. Let's go ahead and compete.
So Mac Jones isn't necessarily your...
Everybody's out here competing. Like, everybody's out here competing. That's what everybody's doing.
We asked Mac the other day how his relationship, is it good with you? And he said, I think so. I'm just curious, what's your characterization of your relationship?
My relationship's good with every player. Including, of course. Talking to him every day.
And he was an off-season award winner. Have you seen a lot from him this off-season?
No, he had a good off-season. Yeah, really good. That's why he was recognized. On and off the field. Participation, production. Yeah.
You know, at first I thought he had a chain under that hoodie, and then I realized that's just great chest hair catching the sunlight.
Hair, yeah.
Which I can relate to, frankly.
Yeah.
A little sunlight on the chest hair. It's a weird vibe. And I remember earlier in the offseason, there's going to be a competition. Then, there's not going to be a competition. And then I caught wind that they were calling around about possibly moving Mac Jones. And there was pressure, tension, dysfunction last year between Bill Belichick and Mac Jones.
Sure.
At the root of it was the decision
to
give the keys of the offense to Matt Patricia, and that never should have happened.
Yes.
That caused Mac Jones to regress. It affected his career. It impeded his development. And that's part of the damage that's being undone. And so from Belichick's perspective, to the extent that Mac was being kind of a punk, kind of a brat, kind of an ass, if he sees Bailey Zappe improving and he thinks it's close, who's he going to be more likely to go with?
Yeah.
The guy that didn't piss him off last year, or the guy who did?
Yeah, well, they did a disservice to Mac Jones last year. I mean, Mac Jones' greatest gift is that he can handle like a 9 million plays and a lot of offenses and checks, and they went to kindergarten offense last year. So that doesn't, you don't even take advantage of the things that he can do, you know? Right, he's telling you, shut up, I know that play. It's as basic as you, you know, I have heard it. But, yeah, hey, Belichick in his history, he always answers it like that. He does. And Mac Jones hasn't played well enough yet for him to just go, wait, he's our quarterback or do any of that.
Well, plus, no, but if Tom Brady was a quarterback.
He was the only person he ever did. He was the only person.
If it was clear, he would roll his eyes and
go,
question.
Come on, are you serious, right? Yeah, we're not there yet. He's still got things to prove to Bill Belichick, and we'll see where it goes. But I think Mac Jones will be better this year.
Quick break. When we return, oh, what a catch, training camp edition. More PFT Live right after this. Oh, what a catch, training camp edition. We go to Washington. Terry McLaurin. Watch this. Lower right, lower left, soon to be lower right, as he makes the move. He breaks free. The ball's in the air.
Man.
Catches it. That's how you break a collarbone, but I love the effort, and you love to see a diving catch like that. That's a guy who wants it, but don't get yourself injured.
Eric Bieniemy offense. I'm excited to see it.
Joshua Palmer, how about this?
Man.
Now, look, the gloves have something to do with it, but that's an uncanny skill. To get up there like that, the body control, and to pull the ball in with one hand.
That's right.
Very impressive.
Here's Mr. Magic Schrick himself.
Catch of the camp.
Right.
Unbelievable. Fighting Joey Porter Jr., George Pickens. I mean, he's not open. This is why he says, now that's a little, would he get flagged for that?
No, because they never call offensive pass interference.
But
so
that's
they would
why
not.
He's always open. Even when he's covered, you throw the ball and he gets it.
Wow.
Aaron Cruickshank making the back of the end zone diving
Falling
catch.
Back.
Impressive.
Yeah. It's amazing. Again, I mean, Odell Beckham Jr. does it. Now we see the whole world doing it all the time.
Guys practice it all the time. They know that they can do it. They just have to work it and work it.
Might be the best one
Jason
of all.
Jason Pinnick with the one hand.
His
pick.
Hand was in the front of the
he
ball.
He didn't have to tuck it.
I know. His hand was in front of it, so he plucked it.
There's another one. Another one. We're going to get to the point. Are we going to get to the point where we don't appreciate this? Where Jason Brownlee
I feel like I'm already at that
catch?
Point. I'm just like, all right, good. Yeah, way to go. Like,
what can they do
when are you
going to
go between your legs and catch
right,
one?
But that's the thing. Where does it go from here? We'll be back with more PFT Live. Are we going to break off of that? I thought we were going to break because we're running out of time. All right, we're going
to break. Well, he's trying to go to break.
We came back.
Go to commercial. You came back to us.
We'll be back with more PFT Live right after this.
A little lightest. Come on.
Well, we mentioned Frick and Freck earlier, and if you're curious as to about who or what they are, there they are. I don't know which is Frick and which is Freck, but they were a comedic ice skating duo of Swiss skaters who went to the United States in 1937 and joined the original Ice Follies show. Frick took his name from a small village in Switzerland. Frack is a Swiss-German word for nun's fart. Oh, wait, that was yesterday's show. For a frock coat. They put the two words together as a typical Swiss joke.
I want to say, like, you're the guy with the mustache on top, right? Because I can't grow a mustache. But also, like, I can't put you on top. You're not going to be able to jump over me like that. So I
could not jump over you, yes.
Right. So I
could not jump
that
high.
I got to be the guy jumping up, and you got to be the guy.
I might be able to jump over him. That looks like Bud Abbott at the bottom, but I could not jump over you.
It does look like an Abbott. That's what I thought when I was like, damn, it looks like an Abbott. I thought so, too. Right.
Well, the black and white and the clothing has something to do with it. So that's frickin' that's Frack.
Yep.
I think we're out of time. Are we out of time?
Yeah, we're coming
out of
the end.
Pete. I don't hear Pete.
No,
oh, he
he's
said
here.
1 minute. We have a minute.
Yeah,
okay.
We're good.
Every once in a while when Pete goes silent as we get close to the end
you
of
panic.
Something, I think, is there
he's
some.
He's talking to you and
he's talking to me
in
and he's
system,
counting me out.
Because you're
it,
usually
yes.
in West Virginia and we're just not sure if it's working. Move up to Connecticut. We won't have those problems.
Why don't you move to West Virginia?
No.
The house next door to me and the house next to it, maybe at some point, you never know what's going to come.
I live in the media center of the world, okay? You need to come up to me.
But I do the show from my house.
I know.
Just come right up. We could have coffee.
I got
before.
More moving parts. I can't do it. Okay. You have less moving parts.
I got – no, you think that, but you would be wrong. All right. All we know is tomorrow we'll be
here.
Are we? We'll be
we're going to be here.
We won't
yeah.
be in Canton.
No, we're not going to be at the
we
Hall
be
of
at
Fame.
The stadium.
No, I'm mad.
You're upset we don't have to drive a half hour there.
No,
and a half
I mean,
hour
hey,
back.
The hotel, they figured out how to make the bed here.
No
I'm happy
origami.
About that. But damn, we come to the Hall of Fame.
I'm
going
go
to the Hall of Fame.
I'm going
to
find your housekeeper and I'm going to offer him or her a $20 bill to mess up your bed.
Thank you very
See
much.
See you tomorrow.
See ya.